Hello again, and welcome back to Give Me the Bible, the show brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ that meets at 6403 Waxhaw Highway. That's North Carolina Route 75, just west of beautiful downtown Mineral Springs, North Carolina. My name is Pastor Vance Trefethen. I'm one of the pastors of the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. I have with me Alexander Newman, one of our guests, and also Carlos Valenzuela from Tucson, Arizona. So thank you, gentlemen, for being with me today. Before we start, I want to invite you to come join us at the Mineral Springs Church. We meet on Sundays at 10 o'clock for Bible study, 11 o'clock for worship, 6 p.m. on the evening of Sunday evening for worship, and Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We'd love to see you there. We try to practice New Testament Christianity, just trying to be a New Testament congregation of Christians that worship and study and practice exactly like churches did in the first century, as you read about on the pages of the New Testament, as the apostles taught. And that's our goal and our effort that we put forth to try to be what the Lord wants us to be, and we encourage you to come join us. We've been talking about faith in previous lessons and previous discussions here on Give Me the Bible. We've been talking about Hebrews 11 and some of the examples of faith that existed in the Bible that the Hebrew writer himself points out, and along with the definition of faith and how it plays out in our everyday lives. And we've been talking about recently about Abraham and his powerful example of faith that he set as he set out into a foreign country which he did not know. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and went out not knowing where he was going." And in a previous episode of Give Me the Bible, we talked about that powerful example because that's where we are as we try to step through this life. We don't see the end because it's off in the distance. We can't see it. We're put into a situation where God has given us a direction to go. We don't have all the roadmap. We don't have all of the clear vision of everything that's going to be out there. We just know there's something really good off in the distance that we're headed for. And so that's the challenge of faith, is how do we make it through this life trusting in something that we cannot see, but yet believing that it's there, and trying to make it to that destination by faith. And that's the challenge. We've come then to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9, where he talks about he dwelt in a foreign country. Verse 10, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And then the Hebrew writer talks in verse 11 about Sarah, Abraham's wife, which says, "By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Carlos, what's unusual about Sarah having a child with Abraham? Don't people have babies all the time?
They do, but she was just past that age, and she herself at first didn't really believe that God was going to give her this child. You know, she kind of, you know,
laughed at it. I thought it was funny.
Exactly.
To have a promise like that.
Exactly. And then she later believed God because she just had that faith. And faith comes by hearing by the words of God, mm-hmm. according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And she developed that faith when at first she just laughed at it.
Yeah. Now, Alexander, what kind of example is that for us today? As we think about faith, what does Sarah's example teach us?
Well, it teaches us that, you know, nothing is impossible for God. We keep underestimating him and putting him in this box that he shouldn't be in, because he is an all-powerful being who can do anything beyond our imagination. So we should stop trying to limit him to human expectations and put him on a level that he deserves to be.
Sure. And that is really the challenge that we face, is because we all face trials, temptations, difficulties, and sometimes they become overwhelming. They become difficult. And we look off in the distance to a future that God has promised, and we think, well, is it really there? As Sarah must have looked off in the distance, and God makes her this outlandish promise that this 90-year-old lady is going to have a baby. Well, that's outlandish. It's hilarious. She laughs at it, and it's off. How can anybody believe it? It's so hard to believe. And yet, she trusts it. Difficult to believe, but she decides to believe it. She trusts it, and then by faith, she receives the strength to be able to have this child when ordinarily it would not be possible. Jump in whenever you want to, but let's talk about, okay, the fact that Sarah is, and then verse 12, it draws the conclusion, Hebrews 11, verse 12, "Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." And there he's talking, of course, about the descendants of Abraham, which became the nation of Israel, where you have all these millions of people that come, all because this one man and this one woman have this faith in something that was difficult to believe. What do we have today that's difficult to believe, that we've been called on to either one of you? What's difficult to believe What do we have to do with this example?
Well, God says that he will forgive us of our sins. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation. So it could be difficult for us to believe that God would forgive us of all the wrongs that we have done, but he has made that promise if we simply obey the gospel, if we trust in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. which some might find hard to believe, but that is what the Lord has promised us.
And even today, some people believe that it's hard to believe in the concept of God at all, because it's just a being that we can't see and we don't have any evidence for. But a lot of us have seen the evidence for God in all of our being and things like that, and just looking out on the world. So it may take a lot of faith to even believe in God in the first place in our modern day and age.
Okay. One of the things that's striking about this example here is that the rewards are great. There's the challenge of faith. Do we accept something that's revealed to us by God? And if we do, the rewards of it are so great. Abraham and Sarah are now, even thousands of years later, we're still talking about them. They received this promise, and they look off in the distance, and they don't see it fully fulfilled, maybe not even in their own lifetime. It's something that's going to be fulfilled down into the future. And that's what the next verse, Hebrews 11 and verse 13, talks about. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, Abraham and Sarah got some of what was promised in their lifetime. Not all of it, but some of it. They got to see her having this baby that was promised, even though that was difficult to believe, but they believed it and it came to pass. And then based on that, the partial fulfillment of the promises, they had confidence that many other things that they were told were going to happen, but it would be centuries later after they were gone. What kind of things were they promised?
That their descendants would inherit the land of Canaan.
Okay.
That they themselves wouldn't have any part of, but their descendants would.
Mm-hmm.
And that through Abraham's seed, all the nations would be blessed, and that's the coming of Christ.
Sure.
And that on top of, you know, Isaac's children having another child, and then them turning into this giant nation of almost a million when they left Egypt.
So. Sure. Okay, so off in the distance, there are these great promises that are going to be fulfilled, and again, this is the model for us. We have things that we're not going to see here in this life. We receive benefits and blessings from God, don't we, here in this life?
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of benefits to serving God in this life. But there's so many more that we're not going to see here in this life that are off in the distance, and you have to trust God by faith that they will be fulfilled if we serve him every day here in this life. So that's kind of the challenge that Abraham and Sarah faced. Yes, they got some benefits and blessings while they were alive. They got to see it. And I think, to some extent, that must have given them some confidence about the things they couldn't see. They got the partial, they could see some of what God was doing, and it must have given them confidence about the things they couldn't see that were off in the distance. Does that make sense?
So
not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, I want to introduce this topic. We'll come back to it after our break. But Abraham and Sarah were travelers. They were nomadic. Abraham's occupation was he was a cattle rancher. He was a nomadic cattle rancher. And they moved around the countryside somewhat. He started off in Babylonia, in Ur of the Chaldees, which was a long ways off from where they are at the time that that the Hebrew writer is recounting the story. Abraham and Sarah start off in Babylonia, and they're told to move, and they move north, and then they move southwest to the land of Canaan and begin moving around. So in that sense, they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth, in the sense that they're not natives in the area where they're living. We're going to come back and pick up on that in just a moment after our break. Give Me the Bible is brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ that meets at 6403 Waxaw Highway, that's North Carolina Route 75, just west of beautiful downtown Mineral Springs, North Carolina. It's a congregation of New Testament Christians that invites you to meet with us and worship with us and study the Bible with us whenever you can. We look forward to seeing you at the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. Thank you for joining us on Give Me the Bible. And welcome back to Give Me the Bible, the program brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. This is Pastor Vance Trefethen again, along with Alex and Carlos with me, our special guests on our program today. We've been talking about Hebrews chapter 11 and the examples of faith set by the people that the Hebrew writer names in that context. We've been talking about Abraham and Sarah, starting in verses 8 and 9 and then going down through verses 12 and 13. In verse 13, the Hebrew writer says, that they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them. And here's the point that we were talking about right before the break. Confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were nomadic herdsmen. They traveled around. They were not natives of the land of Canaan, where they were called to move to by God. And so they moved around as outsiders and strangers in that area. And that raises another example for us today, because if you are a Christian and you are really sincerely trying to follow the teachings of the Bible, isn't it true, gentlemen, that you will be somewhat of a stranger and an outsider compared to the rest of the world?
Yes, sir. And, you know, Peter says as much when we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 10. The Apostle Peter says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In verse 11, he says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles or pilgrims to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." So we aren't to be sidetracked by the things of the world, because our heart and our mind is to be on our goal, which is heaven and obtaining Jesus Christ. So okay. Peter tells us that.
Okay.
And as Christians, we have a bigger acknowledgement of the fact that we aren't supposed to be a part of the world. We're supposed to be people who are different, who are supposed to, like Carlos was saying, abstain from it. A lot of the times that we find the passage that, you know, Abraham goes around with different people, and every single time his morals and his excellence really separate him from the people around him in Egypt and in Sodom and Gomorrah and examples like that. So it's just an example of the way that we ought to be with the world, that we have to be better than them in a lot of ways simply because we are supposed to be acting holy like God and understanding that this isn't our home.
All right, and that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? And one of the things that faith requires of us, that we trust that the rewards of being different from the rest of the world are going to be worth the challenges that puts us to.
Sure.
Because it was not easy to be different from everybody else. You look at whether it's kids in school or whether it's even adults. You know, we pick on young people for being subject to peer pressure, and they are. Young people don't like to be different. Young people like to wear the same kind of clothes everybody else wears, or they like to have the same kind of shoes or whatever. You know, there's a lot of different things that people want to do that where they don't want to be different. And yet, the Bible calls on God's people to be different. So we have this moral calling that's above the rest of the world, and at the same time, it is not easy because we don't fit in. It isn't just young people. If you look in the Bible, even us middle-aged folks or old folks or whoever it may be have had trouble with that over the years. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, talking about the people in the time of Christ, people who met Christ, people who saw him and even saw many of the things that he did, it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And the point of that verse, I think, is to show that even among people who should know better, even among smart people, even among religious people, we don't want to stick out. We want to fit in with everybody else and not be different. Why is that a challenge, gentlemen? What's up with that?
Well, people don't like being outcasts. But Jesus has called us to be just that. You know, Jesus himself was an outcast. He was rejected by the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders at that time. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, at verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." So Jesus is saying here, you know, there's a lot of people that don't go against the grain. There's a lot of people who are just following the herd. And Jesus has called us to not go on that broad and easy way that leads to destruction. But in verse 14, he tells us the path to follow. He says, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it." So we have found that narrow path. We have found that narrow way which leads to life. So although there are few who find it, Jesus tells us to be one of those few and not enter by that broad and easy way, because that leads to destruction. And, you know, when we think about finding that narrow gate, in order to find something, what do you have to be doing? You have to be looking for it.
Yeah,
exactly. And we have, in looking for God, God has given us that answer in Jesus Christ and the path that he has laid for us to have that eternal life through him.
Okay, the point here then is that we have to accept being different. We have to look for the path less taken, as some great poet said that we talked about in English class when I was a kid many years ago. One of those poets talked about the road less taken, and Jesus talked about it too. It's the narrow way that few people find, because sure, most of them aren't looking for it. And there's an easier way. There's a broad, easy way, but it leads to destruction. Abraham was certainly on that narrow path, and one of the problems was that it set him apart from the rest of the world. But that's okay. If you're serving the Lord, you're willing to accept that as part of the cost of, as Jesus would say, the cost of discipleship. The cost of being his disciple is you're going to be different, and you're going to look different, and people are going to notice you're different, but that's okay. You're willing to accept that. So we go then to strangers and pilgrims on the earth, verse 13. They accepted, they embraced the promises, they accepted the differences. And then the Hebrew writer makes this interesting comment in verse 14. This comment is so profound that it really strikes home, I think, with where we are. Again, there's so many parallels between Abraham and Sarah and our lives today as we try to make it to this destination that God has called us to. Verse 14 says, "For those who say such things," now what things? "Those who say that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, those who say that they're trusting in the promises, those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." Abraham and Sarah don't have a homeland. They're wandering around. They don't own the property they're living on. They're living on common pasture land or open land that wasn't owned by anybody. They didn't own it. And they're just passing through. And you and I here in this life are just passing through. It's not, this isn't the permanent end of everything. This is just temporary. And isn't it true, Alex, that we sometimes get so focused on this life that we think this is all there is?
Absolutely. And that's part of a big part of faith, understanding that something is beyond when we end this life. And there's something that's not only beyond it, but more important. And we need to be living in a place that we understand that this life isn't home. And like the Hebrew writer is saying here, that where we actually belong, where we're preparing for, and like what Paul says, when we're being our inner man being renewed every day, it's so that we can go and be in heaven with God. And that's the point that we should be striving for, even though it may be hard not focusing on that while we're here.
Isn't it true that we get too comfortable sometimes? And I'm not against being comfortable. I'm not against prosperity. It's okay, but it can be deceptive. And it can lull us into thinking that, hey, we got a pretty good life here. And you know what we do? In this country, we have a pretty good life. You know, we're not starving to death. We're not out in the cold or out in the heat. We have shelter. We have food. We have our needs that are met. And so it's easy to say, well, I've got a pretty good life here. What do I need to be worried about off some hypothetical thing off in the future when I've got it pretty good right now? So why should I worry about that?
Well, I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that they are blessed because of the things they have before them. You know, well, of course, God loves me. Look at all the things he's given me. But the Ecclesiastes writer, he says, no one knows neither love nor hate by the things that are before them. You know, and Jesus himself says that God allows the rain to fall on the good and the evil. He allows the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. So just because we have these things doesn't mean it is because we are being blessed by God. Yeah, he has given, he gives life to everyone. People who are atheists, people who don't call on the name of Christ, God still woke them up this morning. God still allows them to live. But we have that true reward when we are living for him, when we are focused on the blessings that he promises us in the afterlife.
Okay, we're going to pick up there and talk about that after the break. Stay with us on Give Me the Bible. Hi, this is Pastor Vance with the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. New Testament Christianity, can it be found today? It certainly can. The Mineral Springs Church is trying our very best to practice Christianity the way the apostles taught it in the New Testament times. We invite you to come join us. We meet at 6403 Waxaw Highway, that's North Carolina Route 75, just outside the beautiful downtown Mineral Springs, North Carolina. We meet on Sundays at 10 o'clock for Bible study, 11 o'clock for worship, Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. It's a warm, friendly congregation, and we invite you to come study and worship with us. And welcome back to Give Me the Bible, the program brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. This is Pastor Vance Trefethen again, along with Alex and Carlos. And we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about the faith of Abraham and Sarah, and now we're at the point in Hebrews 11 where it talks about the fact that they are seeking a homeland, and there's this idea of getting comfortable with what we have now rather than looking for our homeland that's off in the distance. Alexander, you had a comment you wanted to make before the break.
Jesus speaks about the rich man not being able to reach heaven, or not permanently not being able to reach heaven, but it's extremely difficult because he believes so hard in his riches and what he has rather mm-hmm. than God. The hardest part about being someone who has a lot of things is to understanding that there's something far greater than what you have, and learn not to trust in what you have, and learning to trust in God and his plan. And that's a big lesson that we need to learn just here in America, that we have so many blessings, but we have to understand that all of it's going to be for nothing when we go into the grave unless we have a plan for our future and laying up heavenly treasures.
Sure. Carlos, you had something you wanted to bring up.
We were talking about Matthew chapter 5, verses 45, where Jesus says, we'll go ahead and start in verse 44. He says, "But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust." I've had studies with people, and they've either not wanted to have this study or thought that they were in a good relationship with God because of all the blessings that they had. And just as Brother Alexander was saying, people get comfortable with that. That people get comfortable, just like the rich young ruler. He didn't want to give up those riches. He didn't want to give up what he had here on earth for something better. And people today don't want to give up what they have or what they can obtain and put more effort into obtaining earthly things than obtaining heavenly things, because like Jesus says, God allows his rain to fall on the good and on the evil. Mm-hmm. But we as Christians must know that, yes, the Lord is going to bless us here if we have faith in him, and we are going to receive blessings here, but they shouldn't be our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal should be to receive the blessings that he has promised us, that mansion on high with him in heaven through Jesus Christ.
But here's the challenge. If I pursue those things, I can get a lot more. I can have a much more comfortable life and a much more exciting life here if I pursue riches. And I think that goes back to the question of faith, as far as faith is a confidence in things unseen, mm-hmm. but riches I can see. I can check my bank account. I can look at my house. I can look at my car or my boat or whatever. I don't have a boat, but if I did, mm-hmm. I could look at it. And all whatever I have, I can see it. Whereas this stuff you're talking about trusting in this home that we have off in the distance, I can't see it. And I think that's what makes it so hard for people to make these difficult choices, because it's a choice of faith. Either something you can see or something you can not see. Which one do you want? Well, most people are going to say, well, I'll take the thing I can see.
And I mean, that may be true. You can believe in your riches all you want, but there's no guarantee that you're going to wake up tomorrow or live through today. And that's going to be a hard thing for you to really assess, because you can't take your riches with you. They're going to be left to someone else who may waste them or throw them all away. A lot of what you save up here isn't going to be useful when you go into the grave. It's not going to be useful. So are you going to fully trust in yourself to just have a lot of fun before you go? Or are you going to really understand that this life isn't the end and there's a lot more to put your faith in? There's more for you to be doing with your life.
Okay. Well, that's the issue that the Hebrew writer raises in 11:14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Abraham and Sarah were seeking something beyond the physical things that they could see around them. It was off in the distance. They couldn't see it, but they were looking for it, and God had promised it to them. Now, here's the big one. Well, we've had some big ones already, but here's another big one. Verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, and that was back in Babylonia, or the Chaldees, where they had left when God called them. And remember, Abraham was an old man. He was 75 years old when God called him out. He had already had a decent life behind him. And if you want to put it that way, he was kind of cruising into the retirement years. These are the golden years. This is not time to be moving around starting a family. This is, you're 75 years old, you're going to retire and enjoy life. But no, he gets called to go out, and he and Sarah are going to start a family at this age. So off they go. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Isn't that interesting? What that tells you is all through the time that Abraham and Sarah are traveling around waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled, they could have turned around and gone back anytime they wanted to and said, you know what, this is too hard. This is too much. It's God's asking too much of us. It's not going to work out. This just isn't what we had back in the old country. Let's just turn around and go home and let's just give up. Don't we face the same thing today, Carlos?
Yes, sir. That's what faith is for. Jesus tells us that we are to live for him. Jesus tells us that we have that promise, you know, and that's where free will comes in. We have the free will to follow Christ or not follow Christ. You know, in John chapter 6, when many of the people didn't like what Jesus had to say and they turned away and heard him no more, Jesus didn't try to convince them and try and talk them into following him. Jesus turned to the ones that remained and said, do you want to go away also? Mm-hmm. And Peter said, Lord, to where shall we go? You have the words of life. So that's where that free will comes in. God doesn't ever make us do anything by force. He doesn't make us follow him by force. He wants us. He wants us. God's going to save those who love him. He loves everyone. But if we truly love him, then we are going to put our faith in him and put our faith in these things unseen. Just like you were quoting, Brother Vance, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Yeah.
Faith is the assurance or the conviction of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. That word conviction literally means proof or evidence of things not seen. We just have to believe in the things that he has laid out for us.
Okay. And I think the point is well taken, that one of the things this verse teaches us is that Abraham and Sarah had to make that decision for themselves. Are they going to give up and go home, or are they going to keep on down the path?
And even for more from a theological standpoint of now, this contradicts a lot of things that are said in when it comes to once saved, always saved. When you have the opportunity to go back and do whatever you want, it doesn't mean that Abraham, God was going to totally get frustrated at him or totally anything like that. But rather, it was going to, you know, Abraham was going to receive the promises. The promises weren't going to come through him. And the same thing happens with us. If we decide to live for Jesus only sometimes and then we return to the world, we can't expect to receive the promises that are promised to us.
Okay. And that's, again, I talk about these challenges of faith. One of the challenges is start down the path and discover that it's hard. You talked earlier in the show, Carlos, about the two pathways that Jesus talked about. The broad, easy way that leads to destruction, and then the narrow way that Jesus talked about. But it's narrow and it's hard. And it can be difficult to walk down that path. And so people may start walking down that path and discover how hard it is and say, well, you know what, I'm tired of this. This isn't for me. I'm going to give up and just go find the easy path and take that instead. And so as believers in Christ who are trying to make it down that path, and it will not be easy. We have to accept the fact that it will not be easy. Jesus talked about counting the cost, didn't he? Before you decide to be his disciple, there's going to be a cost. Abraham and Sarah had a cost that they had to pay to make the choice to serve him. Any final comments before we wrap up, Carlos?
Just, Jesus has given us this opportunity to have faith in him, to have a confidence of things that we don't see. And just like you were saying, we need to count the cost. And if you're looking down at the path, the narrow, difficult path, if you're looking down, you're just going to see all the difficulties and how hard it might be. But if you have your eyes up, focused on heaven, focused on Christ, then that's going to strive you. That's going to bring you the confidence and the ability to push through that narrow, difficult way, because you see the goal in the end.
I agree. Alex?
Just like Carlos was saying, our goal is heaven. And once we understand that we're just pilgrims here, we need to live in a way that's different than that. We need to grow from that and have a truly experience where we truly live to be like God in our action.
And faith is what will take us there. Thank you so much for joining us on Give Me the Bible. We'll see you next time.